Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. Glad to be with you today. I'm in the 20th lesson on a scriptural basis to Christ Our Life Ministries. And I thought I would pause at this time and give my own personal testimony because I love scriptural teaching. I love Bible teaching. But it's always wonderful to hear how a living person lived all this out, how it became a living reality to me. So if you really want to know all the details, pick up my book, The Treasures of Darkness. If you write me, I will send you that book, The Treasures of Darkness. And also, it's on The Liberating Secret if you'd like to read my own personal testimony on our website. But where was I in telling my story about myself? Okay, I talked about being saved at the Billy Graham Crusade with, you know, not being discipled at all for about 9 or 10 years, and then meeting somebody that showed me what Jesus was like, and me being drawn to that and start going to a Bible study here in Louisville, Kentucky, and learning what the grace of God really meant. And I'm telling you, I say to people, I really did not know that I was on my way to hell until before I was born again. I did not realize it until I started experiencing and knowing the grace of God, that God has saved me and released me and put His whole self inside me. I'm telling you, I love the song's Amazing Grace. I love it. I love that song. It just speaks of my whole life. It speaks of your life too. But anyway, here I was, a young mother. My husband was not saved. A young wife at 28, and I found Jesus. And boy, did I go for it all the way. I wanted to read my Bible all the time. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew the peace, the joy, the fruit of the Spirit was right there. You know, I knew it all. I knew the baptism of the Spirit. I knew it all. But yet, I was still, and my life was wonderful at first. I mean, I started a Bible study in my home. Actually, the Lord gave me a word that I was going to have a Bible study in my own home. Well, I hardly even knew that much about the Bible, but okay, if the Lord was going to make me have a Bible study, that's good. So I invited all the neighbors up and down the street, the women, and there's not one soul came to this Bible study, and I was really defeated. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, I said I would give you a Bible study. Oh, then I don't even have to try to make a Bible study. No. Oh, okay, then you said it, so I'm just going to trust you. See, I started really just believing whatever He spoke to me. I just started childlike faith, just started believing it. And so one day, now this, my son, I had two sons at that time, my older son David and Danny, my younger son. They used to camp out with the little kids across the street, and they'd be in their tents, and pretty soon they started calling my older son preacher, because he would tell everybody how to be saved by faith. By faith, by grace. You're saved by grace, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood cleanses you. And so he started leading people to Christ. And they said, how do you know this? And he said, my mother teaches us the Bible. And they said, do you think she would teach us? And he said, yeah, sure. So wouldn't you know it, one day I was just working around the house and there was a knock at the door, the back door, and I opened it up, and there were about 10 kids, all with their Bibles, and my son, the leader, you know, bringing all these kids to our house. And it was like, oh my gosh, God really does do these things. Oh my goodness, I was so excited. So I started having Bible study every day. We had them down the basement. I taught them the scriptures. I got flannelgraph and taught them flannelgraph. Basically, I learned a whole lot of the Bible during that time. They didn't know anything, so whatever little I knew was a lot more than what they knew. But I learned a whole lot during that time. A lot of little kids were led to the Lord, so it was a wonderful, glorious little ministry. So I always knew how glorious it was and what the anointing felt like when you're ministering. I always knew that. And there was a time in my life that I didn't have that, a long time in my life that I did not have that before God gave began Christ Our Life Ministries, but I always knew it was there. I knew it was available. The Spirit gave me that experience. So, but not long after that, we decided to move to another area of town and where we live today. We've lived here ever since. So when we moved, we had been going to a certain church. We went to a church downtown. It was a Bible church, taught us Bible, taught us the grace of God. Then we started going to a Christian missionary church and taught us more things of the Scripture. But yet we started learning things that were different than we're really being taught at the church. Well, anytime that happens, that's pretty weird. The church doesn't like it too much. So now what was I learning? Well, when I started going to my friend Pauline's house to have Bible study, she always had a missionary come to teach, and her church invited this missionary to come, and then when they realized what he taught, they decided they didn't want him to come. Well, she always kept all the missionaries, so he was going to come anyway, and so she decided, well, I'll just invite all the Bible studies. So we all came to hear this missionary. His name was Norman Grubb, and we always say we fell heir to one of the greatest teachers of all times. He's certainly an apostle. Little English man, humble, been a missionary for years and years, and you'll read his story. He's got an autobiography out about his life story, which is a wonderful, glorious story, and you can pick that up from our bookstore. We have a copy of that. And also his father-in-law, who was C.T. Studd, who was some of the first missions in Africa years ago, and he also had also worked with Hudson Taylor in inland China. So that's how far he goes back. The people that he grew up under that mentored him. So there he was, this little man. He had was retired from his mission, started a mission in worldwide evangelization crusade in England, and now in the United States, in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, in the United States. And here he appeared right at our Bible teacher's house. And when he started talking, he had this strong English accent. I started hearing what he was saying. And I thought, I know with all my heart that what he's saying is the truth, but I hardly understand two words of what he's talking about. Now, I think there's a lot of people that even hear what I'm saying and wonder, what in the world is that woman talking about? And I think it's the same thing. You know in your spirit that it's the truth. You know the truth when you hear the truth, because it lifts your spirit. It raises you up, you see, because the Holy Spirit has given you witness that it is the truth. So as I heard him and heard him teach, you know, I thought, this is the truth, whatever he's saying, and I've got to get it. Well, lo and behold, it is the liberating secret and the basis by which most of everything that I teach on the liberating secret, because he ended up being my mentor. There I was, only 28 years old, but gravitating towards this truth, wanting to know it, wanting to be with him, wanting to sit on the front row, writing notes and reading my Bible, going home and studying everything that he said. You see, because I wanted to get the same thing he had, because I could see the peace that passes all understanding in him. I could see him talk about things that would cause anybody else to suffer, but yet he lived in peace with. And I could see the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I could see true humility and not somebody puffed up in a three-piece suit walking around trying to prove something to somebody. I could see true meekness and humility, and I really wanted that. I wanted to know what he was saying. So I started reading his books. And the first one I read was God Unlimited. We offer that right on our website too, on the Liberating Secret bookstore. We offer that book. So I read that, and I could read only part of that sentence, and then I couldn't understand the rest of it. But I was after the truth. I was like the Berean. I was going to search the scripture and see what he was saying was the truth. So I was searching the scripture and reading what he was saying, and everything he said was backed up by scripture. But it was far different than what I was hearing anywhere else. So my heart was just sunk. I mean, I had it. I mean, I was hooked. I said to him one time, you have ruined me to all the other preachers that I've heard, because this liberates me so. He said, darling, it's meant to liberate you. It's the truth. The truth will set you free. So, but So then I thought, I want to teach this. I want to know this so that I can teach this. So I started teaching it in a way. But then all of a sudden, so I felt like that I was called as a teacher to be able to teach this. I had that as a calling, but yet I had to be conditioned for that calling. I wasn't really ready to move into that calling because basically I understood the principles of how life works by the Spirit. And I knew the liberating secret in principle and in theory more than I did in practical experience. And I liken it to the time when I was in high school. I went to Eastern High School in Louisville, Kentucky, and I took chemistry. I loved chemistry. Half of my class was theory. We read the book, understood the principles. The other half was the lab. Well, my life was like that. The day came when things started coming in my life that I didn't like. And old things that kept creeping in my mind, jealousies and fears and insecurities. And I kept trying to apply what I'd learned to these fears and insecurities. And yes, it just didn't seem like it worked. It just didn't seem like it was releasing me. And so one day the Lord said, now I've given you the theory. Now I'm going to take you into the lab and show you what I really mean. How it really works in your life. Because we can see this and understand this mentally, but until the Holy Spirit takes you alone to Himself, and really, was I alone? Was I a divorced person? No, I was not. I had a family. I had 3 children by then. I had a husband that I couldn't conquer and was pretty determined to have his own way all the time. And I was pretty jealous of him because you know, all of his attention that he would give, all of these flirtations he would have. I couldn't make him stop that. I couldn't get him to do anything to make me happy. And the more that I would see these things in him, the more I would try to fix him. And I always say we women try to fix, change, and rearrange our men. And we do it by the flesh, and it ain't going to work. It wouldn't work with him, boy. Nothing would. And I say the greatest thing God ever gave me was a man that I could not change. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me a man that I could not change because I had to find my own answers within my own self. And the day came that I tried to change him so much, finally he said, Sylvia, I love you, but you are not, the problem is not in me, it's in you. Now you have to find your answers in God. And boy, I'm telling you, I did not like hearing that. I did not like hearing that at all. And because I thought, I want to scratch your eyes out because I want you to be the problem. I don't want me to be the problem because I don't know how to fix it. Of course we don't. We're not able to fix it. We're not able to even know what in the world to do with it. But he was telling the truth. It really was the truth. And God took me alone. And there were days that I was depressed, days that I would do bizarre things and then say to myself, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. And then the next day I would do it again and again and again and again and again until it was so besetting that it just absolutely tormented me day and night. I would stay in my room a lot. I would not get dressed. There were times I was so depressed I could not even write a check. I could not figure out how to write a check. I was that depressed. I mean, I had to come out of my room because I had to take care of my children. I had 3 children. I had a demanding husband. I had to do that, but I could not conquer this insatiable need. Needy, needy me. And that's what we are. I'm a needy, needy me. Basically, before we know who we are, that's what we are. That's who we think we are. That I need this. I need that. I need him to be different. I need my life to be different. I can't live the Christian life. What's wrong with me? And basically, I put all my attention on me, 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 me. Sylvia, Sylvia, Sylvia. I was more self-conscious and me-conscious than I ever was Christ-conscious. And I got so depressed, I ended up in my closet beating my head on the wall. Why was I ever born? Sounded like Job. Why was I ever born? I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate what I see myself doing. And I can't stop doing the things that I'm doing. And I can't conquer it. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to die. I want to die, Lord. I want to die. I want to, Lord, just let me die. Let me die. And he said, Sylvia, don't you know you're already dead? Now, that's kind of the first thing I'd heard from him in a long time. Don't you know you're already dead? How can a dead person die? What you don't know is you think you are still alive. You're not. You're dead. That you're walking out who you're not. You've identified yourself as a fearful, insecure, unstable, needy self. That is a lie. That is not the truth about you. You're living and walking a lie. Oh, that's not who I am. Wait a minute. I've got a misplaced identity. The Lord said to me, Sylvia, I'm in you. I'm your true identity. I'm your new self. I'm the real you in you. What? You mean that's the real truth about me? I said, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take it that Jesus, you're the one that lives in me. You're my true identity. You're the one that is my life. Then what do I do with all this? Don't touch it, the Lord said. Don't try to change it. Boy, I knew by then not to try to change it. Don't try to change my behavior. No. Stop looking at your behavior, because your behavior is looking at your behavior is what the Bible calls the mind of the flesh, is looking at the flesh behavior and trying to make it perform. You see, I'm whipping up my flesh, beating it, and trying to make it perform. That's your problem. Look to me. Look to who you really are. Keep your eye on me. Look in the mirror and don't see yourself. See Jesus living there. And as I did that, I'm telling you, I got out of my closet. I got that peace back again of Jesus. I got a release that day. But you know what? 3 days later, I was back again with those same thoughts, because Satan was not going to give up easy. He was bombarding my mind with who I wasn't and putting my attention on all the bad behavior, which totally defeats you, you see, and you don't have any way to conquer it. And so, but then the Lord would remind me again, now who are you? Oh, wait a minute, that's right. Jesus, you live in me. I want to tell you, I was pretty schizophrenic around this time. My husband and I were working on the house we live in now. We lived in a rental. We have a rental house that lives behind us, that is behind us, and that's where we were living. And we were walking down the hill as we were working on this house. And as we were walking down the hill, I was screaming at him because I wanted him to change. I wanted him to be different. I wanted him to love me more. I was acting out needy self. And so all of a sudden I stopped and I said, honey, this isn't me. This isn't me. The real me is Christ in me. That's who I really am. Christ is in me. He looked at me like, honey, you need to be in the nut house. You are crazy. Because he didn't understand any of these things. But the only thing that relieved me from the pressure of condemnation and the guilt of how I was behaving was standing in the truth of who I am. Now, I've learned now that that's the only way of spiritual warfare. That's exactly what it means in Ephesians chapter 6 when it says, put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the evil one. Because you don't war against your own flesh and blood. It's not your flesh and blood you're warring against. It's him. Him who is deceiving you and making you think that you can do better in yourself when you can't. But God used that to teach me the way of faith. And go back to the simple thing that my Bible teacher taught me as a young Christian. Stand on what God says. And not what I feel, not what I think, not even what my behavior says that I'm doing. Not what I'm doing. Because you are not what you're doing. Who God says you are. Now, if you want victory in your life, you have got to stand on the truth of who you really are. And quit giving power to the lie that you're independent, miserable, defeated, condemned worm. Because that's what I felt like. I felt like that. And my mind, and Satan would put thoughts in my mind of condemnation. But the Spirit would remind me again, Sylvia, stand in the truth. Stand in the truth. The miracle of faith is this. What you take by faith ends up taking you. Just like if you take food, you're taking it by faith. It ends up becoming your body, part of your body, and nourishes you. Well, as you take the truth, which is, I no longer live, That's not me. I kept saying, that's not who I am. That crazy behavior, that's not who I am. Well, people thought, you really are nuts. But you know what? As I stood by faith and by the truth of who I am, the Holy Spirit released me little by little by little by little. It didn't happen overnight, and it was silently. One day, I was sitting in my living room when I was already in my new house, and I thought, how come I don't hate myself anymore? How come I'm not trying to change my husband anymore? How come I really love myself? How come? How come that I'm released? How come I've got peace? How come I'm not like that anymore? Oh, because the Holy Spirit has brought that living reality inside of me. And let me tell you, people, that living reality has never faded away. It becomes more and more real to me all the time. That's why I have the calling, and I have what I have to teach in The Liberating Secret, is because that I've been through that valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil. So whatever negatives that come on me these days, I know how to see through and see God behind everything, because God meant for me to go into that place of Romans 7. God meant for me to go into that valley of the shadow of death. It's not a true reality, because that's what I always say. Romans 7 is when Paul was believing the lie about himself. The misery that I was in is because I was believing the lie about myself. The minute I started standing on the truth and let Jesus be Jesus inside of me, and not even try to help him, and not him have him help me, I had none of those props. You see, he is well able to live your life, and he will do it in a mighty, mighty way, far beyond what you can even imagine or think possible. And that's what Paul saw in Romans 8 when he declared, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Let me read you just a little of Romans 8, because I love Romans 8 as well. I always say the only way to get out of Romans 7 is to leap out. Take a strong leap of faith if you're going around and around trying to conquer what you cannot conquer. Take a leap of faith and say, and declare by faith that you're already delivered in Christ. And stand on what this scripture says, that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And you walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by what you feel or think, but you walk by faith in the truth of who you are, and the Holy Spirit will set you free. And then it says this in verse 2 of Romans 8, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, has made me free from the law of sin and death." So living by the Spirit will set you free from any fleshly activity of trying to conquer yourself through self-effort. Verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." When was he in the likeness of sinful flesh? At the cross. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in your flesh. You have been freed. You do not have a satanic nature in your flesh. Take it by faith. The Bible says in Romans 6, that present your members, your bodily members, your soul, and your body as instruments of righteousness. You stand by faith that God has cleansed you, and he has made you an instrument of his righteousness. And you watch the Holy Spirit form himself in you. As you walk, he's going to cause you to walk by faith. Now there's a verse in Hebrews, Chapter 10, that says, after you're illuminated, you will fight a great fight of affliction. You will. It took me about a year to stand on faith, and my behavior did not change right away. It did not. But I took it that Jesus had already set me free. And as I took that by faith, it took me and freed me and released me and gave me the unction and the anointing to be able to give the liberating secret to the precious people of God. That's why when I started my radio, I said hello to all God's precious people out there in radio land. Well, the same way with TV land, radio land, and precious people, God's precious people. You are God's precious people. He has redeemed you. He has cleansed you. He has sanctified you. He has absolutely put his life within you. And that is your new nature. You walk by that truth. You stand in the truth of who you are. and watch Jesus set you free from all those things that absolutely, all those sins that drive you crazy, even besetting sin, even something very, very strong that you think nothing can set you free from. Jesus has already set you free from it. Stand on that and you'll be liberated. Thank you for joining me, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and that he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.